time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time. Here we go. First top, a lot of NFL draft related topics here, so I want to get your thoughts. Are you buying or are you selling the idea that Brock Bowers will... Like Powers. That's why am I thinking of Brock Powers? I don't know. The tight end out of Georgia, who I thought was going to go top 10, easy, probably even top 7. Are you buying that he falls out? Not only of the top 10, does he actually get into the 20s?
I mean, the more I think about it, the more I'm probably buying it. I think there's a good chance that there's going to be 4 quarterbacks in the top 5. And then that's just going to push everybody else down. The teams that have traded up, like the Vikings or maybe the Raiders, looking to go get one of their guys at 4 or 5. You have 2 top receivers there, a couple of top cornerbacks, lots and lots of O-linemen and D-linemen. So I could see it. I mean, he's the best tight end in the class, but is he a top 20 player in this draft class? I don't know.
I don't know. According to one writer from CBS... He's a top 6 player. But he the same guy that made this mock draft, which is Ryan Wilson of CBS, has him going to Miami at 21. So then I guess my next question is, if Brock Bowers is available at 12, should the Broncos take him? Because they're not going to get... I don't think they're getting JJ. They're darn sure not getting the other 3. It's either Bo Nix, Penix Jr., or you got to go... Probably got to go position of need.
You do position of need, best player available, or trade back, get a late first and a second round pick.
Could, because then Bo Nix would be there in the second.
Sure.
Probably.
Because they don't have a second.
My other thought, too, with the Broncos, like a Brock Bowers, that's a guy you could probably build around. If you're a bad organization and you're trying to rebuild, you know, getting a guy that's a big-name guy and supposed to be good at one position, like Patrick Surtain's great and all, but that's a cornerback. It's hard unless your defense is kind of known as the juggernaut. But the Broncos are in desperate need of some faces for their organization. And it's definitely Patrick Surtain right now. But now that Justin Simmons is gone, you are in desperation mode for that. And, you know, if they draft the corner out of Alabama, great. But Brock Bowers, an offensive weapon like that, could instantly jump in and be kind of known as a face. And that's something for fans to root for, even if you're losing. If the guy has 6 receptions for 100 yards and a touchdown, you at least see, hey, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
What about offensive line?
Could go there. Obviously, center is a position, but a lot of Broncos people tell you they're deep there, which I didn't think they were. But
I mean, Towers Johnson might be sitting there at 12. He's the top center in this class.
Yeah, now we're starting to get to the point where does this team start to think about drafting for position of need if those quarterbacks aren't there? So here's the other buy or sell. The Broncos will end up taking a quarterback somewhere before the 4th round. Are they even going to do it? Without a second round pick, it's going to come down to the 3rd. And what's there? Do you waste 3rd on any kind of a quarterback that's there? Probably the South Carolina guy?
Rattler?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's if you can't somehow figure out a way to get into the 2nd or some finagling in the late 1st, if you want to... I wouldn't call it a reach for Bo Nix. Others might call it a reach at that point. But if it's not Bo Nix, then I wouldn't do it.
That's how... I mean, Bo Nix is one of those guys still, and he might fall. But his stock went up for a moment, and now it's kind of back where...
I mean, if he's the only one left on the board from 6 to 32...
Which is crazy, but it could be Penix. Penix as well.
Yeah.
Of those, what, 5 guys? We going 6?
6
guys. Whew. Are you buying or selling that the Vikings trade up and they get J.J. McCarthy?
I'm probably buying that. They did get a first-round pick, I believe, from Chicago. So they have the ammunition to jump up if they need to. I don't think they're settled with Darnold at that position. I think the head coach is probably going to want to get his own guy in there. But can you get past New York? Does New York try to trade up one spot if they're going to go on that run of early quarterbacks?
Well, yeah,
because a team like the Raiders going to do? Do the Broncos get a little crazy and try to get in that top five? Everyone's projecting Minnesota to trade up there, so.
And then I'd take JJ at five, and then the Giants will be still sitting there. I saw one mock that has them taking the wide receiver out of LSU. Was that Nobles or Nobes?
Neighbors?
Is that what it is? I can't even read my own handwriting. Dixon says, not sure Nix or even Pence will make it to second round. Teams will jump back in to the back of the draft to get that quarterback so they can get that fifth-year option. That's why Pennix will probably go in the first.
I could foresee one of those, either Pennix or Nix, falling into the second. Far into the second.
No, I think you're probably right there. Last one, Anthony Edwards, his dunk. Was it a dunk? Buying or selling it? Was it a dunk?
I'm selling it because technically it's not a dunk. I wouldn't call it a dunk if I was able to do something like that. It's impressive, aggressive, violent, in all the right ways.
Extremely impressive. Ways.
But you know, was it a charge?
Could have been a charge. But he was above the rim and he kind of threw it into it. Yeah. Awesome. Amazing. But is it classified as a dunk?
I would say.
I'd probably say no too.
I think it's a throw.
Yeah. All right. There we go. There's buy or sell for Savannah's text line. 888-530-0043. We're going to have Mike Brohard join us in a moment. CSURams.com. We're just filling this thing up. Our last show is tomorrow for the week. We're off Thursday. We're off Friday because of March Madness. So we'll try to see if we can catch up with Kevin Lytle as well. Win or lose for the Colorado State Rams tonight. We'd like to get the aftermath from Kevin. Boy, I hope we're not doing that. That's going to be a gloomy Wednesday around here, Angel. I would say it's going to be a gloomy Wednesday around the state of Colorado if CSU doesn't get it done. But Buffs fans probably don't care, whatever. But
make for a gloomy Thursday if both of them lose.
Yeah.
And Cody Wilson would be the happy one.
Yep, because his Boise State Broncos, the weatherman's Broncos, would get in, well, to the official. Big Hub texted in earlier, and I didn't get to it. He said, do we really consider play-in getting into the tournament? It's like the NBA play-in game. It's not the full-on playoffs yet. It's part of it, though. It's attached, but I've never considered it. How long have we had the play-in game?
For basketball, for college?
Yeah.
2011.
Okay.
Was the first year.
I always
13 years.
I always had a dividing line in there, in my mind. It's not the same. It's part of it, but it's not full on. Now, the records will show you went dancing, but I do think there's a dividing line there.
It's not so much 68 as it is 64 plus 4.
Although they want to expand that. That's what they want to expand. They want the play-in game to be, you know,
a mini
10,
tournament?
15, yeah, to get in. So and that would be...
Do like a 16-team play-in?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I think but that would be a lot of your mid-majors and stuff like that.
But then you're pushing off the first, second round past the weekend at that point. Because you'd have to start those games probably Tuesday, Wednesday, after Sunday, and then that probably takes you up until next Sunday, and then you have a time off between conference tournaments, and then when the actual first round gets going.
I just don't. Why mess with it? The college
Money.
Football playoffs. Yeah, I know, but my gosh, you're going to get to the point where everybody's in. Like that's just terrible. Then why even have like I said yesterday? That just defeats the purpose of the regular season. The regular season.
Like what the NFL is 14 out of 32.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA is 16 out of 30.
Yeah.
After the play-in.
And how many college basketball teams are eligible at the beginning of the season?
168. No. Yeah.
How many? I don't even know.
180 something?
There's a bazillion of them.
I get that in the baseball number of games confused. there's almost too many games.
In baseball?
These numbers, yeah.
Oh, there's way too many games in baseball. I just think you get to the point where you start messing around and it's just too much.
I don't think they would expand it to satisfy all the complainers because there's going to be some anyway. I think it would be just, we want more people watching more March Madness. The more the madness, the more the merrier.
That's what they want. There's currently more than 350 Division I basketball teams. There you go. But that's the thing.
So we got to get 20% of that in?
I just think it's just... I like, it's good the way it is. Is it flawed? Yeah, you're always going to have... You're going to piss off a lot of fan bases every single year. It's just how it goes.
Well, in the craze around March Madness that everyone falls in love with, all the games, the upsets, that's only really the first weekend. The second weekend, it gets fewer and fewer games. And then it's to the point where there's one game after the other, and it's not four games at once. Mm-hmm. I think that's what people idealize so much about it is, oh, there's four different games on at once, and my attention's all over the place, and buzzer beaters and crazy stuff here. And then in two weekends, it's, oh, okay, I guess there's those two games tonight. Maybe I'll watch.
Yeah. Too much of a good thing can hurt you. I mean, I do think baseball, having the long season that they have in this day and age, does hurt you.
Could you really do three weekends of round one type of play?
No. You couldn't. It's too much. You know, football is king because they do it the right way. You got just the regular season, for example. It builds up. You have a week. It's a chapter. Every week is a chapter. So if you get to the point where you got a long season, long non-con, long conference, a long conference tournament, and then a long NCAA tournament, it's just too much.
So what would you feel if the NFL went to 18 games with two bye weeks?
What are they at, 17 now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
You wouldn't mind two bye weeks?
I'd be okay with two bye weeks. That's fine. Is that something that...
That's something that we'll talk about the coaches or owners meeting.
One preseason game then.
Yes, I agree with that.
You go, first half is your dress rehearsal or however you want to use it.
I'd be okay with two.
They're at three now?
Yeah.
Three, and then if you're playing the Hall of Fame game, you got four?
Mm-hmm.
Three is just... college doesn't have preseason. They have tune-ups, but they don't have preseason.
Yeah.
All right, 18 after the hour. Let's get Mike Brohard on. Get his thoughts on what the Rams need to do to get past Virginia tonight. Get that opportunity to go play on Thursday. We'll talk to Mike coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Isaiah Stevens, guard for the CSU Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Getting closer and closer to Colorado State and Virginia coming up tonight, 7:10. On True TV. Joining me now, let's talk about that game. Mike Brohard from CSURams.com, live from Dayton, Ohio. Mike, my friend, are you getting some warm-ups in? You've been shooting around a little bit? You getting your stretches in?
I got my stretches in. I just watched.
No. Oh, you didn't? You don't warm up at all?
I got a couple of rebounds in for the guys.
There you go. Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Joe Palmer got me an assist, so there we go.
It's a team effort, isn't it, Mike? And I think that if the Rams pull this off tonight, they're going to point right at you and say, dude, you got us going.
I think they'd point right at me and go, can you move out of the way, please? I'm really tired.
Well, yeah, it's been an exhausting few days for everybody involved with CSU. I'm always curious at the process of that, Mike. So many people, you don't know what it's going to be. It's Election Sunday. That's why it's awesome. It's fun. It's got people on the edge of their seats. But there's just so much planning that has to happen in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, you're kind of finding that. I mean, CSU's gone through this before. And if you qualify through the tournament the way normal people do, and then you end up playing a Thursday or Friday, it feels like a normal work week, right?
Yeah.
This time, of course, if you're one of the first four, which makes there's eight teams that are going to play here the next 2 days that had a rushed schedule and are going to continue to have a rushed schedule. So tonight, after CSU beats Virginia, they will immediately jump on a plane and fly to Charlotte and probably arrive around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning because they've got to be there the day before that they would play. And I think it's a 6:50 game Eastern time against Texas.
Well, and that's another thing. I think, you know, when you know, the non-important stuff for you, Mike, but like when people are thinking about filling out their brackets and everything, I think those are things you have to take into consideration, too. You're looking at travel. You're looking at what was the weekend like before that. Those are all things that probably come into play. This, you know, as much as you do like tournament play and the non-con schedule and stuff, you tell me, nothing quite prepares you for everything, all the hoopla and everything that goes into the NCAA tournament.
No, there's a lot of hoopla, and the people have never experienced the hoopla before, and I'm talking about the players. They've got to get over that as soon as possible. So, you know, and I think they did that. You know, the people for the Rams who had not played in this tournament 2 years ago went in and they saw all the March Madness, and they see it on the floor, and the signage is everywhere, and it's cool. But you do. You want to get that out of the way as soon as possible, just so you can focus on when it comes time, you play a game and you do what you do best.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. He is there in Dayton, ready for a big one tonight for Colorado State. Talk to us about Virginia, what you've learned so far. We know, I mean, we've been looking at it, and everything you hear about Virginia is defense. This team can slow you down. They're gonna use as much shot clock as they possibly can. So the Rams will certainly have to prepare for that.
Yeah, they're a very deliberate team, and they always have been, and the Bennetts have always been very deliberate when both of them were coaches. And Tony's no different than his dad. So, yeah, I mean, they're not going to rush a shot that they don't want to take. They have no problem shooting late in the shot clock. They also do a very good job defensively, packing the paint and muddling it up and making you take shots that you don't want to take. And so it's been interesting. There's those things that you have to worry about when you game plan for another team. But Colorado State, and Nico's said this a couple of times being out here, we have to be true to who we are. This is what we want to do, and let's be honest, there are things that they're looking at and they're going, we've never seen this before. How do we counter that? So it's not just Colorado State has to counter to Virginia. It's working both sides of the street, right? So Colorado State has to stay true to what it does really well and continue to do that and have success with that in this game.
How much of that, yeah, let me ask you that, you know, as far as when you're talking to coaches, and again, every year we probably get into this conversation, but when you know you're good in certain areas, but this team is really good in this area, and maybe you haven't seen a lot of what they do, how much of that is, hey, yeah, it is what it is. We're still going to stay true to everything that we're about and just see if it works.
Yeah, right now, it was funny because I know at one point today when one of my favorite things to see at these tournaments is that includes Mountain West, is the team will do a walkthrough in like a ballroom. And, you know, they'll tape on the floor, create a paint, three-point line, all this stuff, and they'll go through walkthrough and stuff like that. Nico told them, like, the cool thing was, the neat part about this time of year is Virginia knows nothing about Colorado State. You've just spent the last 3 months playing teams that know everything about you and you know everything about them. So this feels really fresh. There's finally, you're going to play a team that really doesn't understand the concepts of, you know, Colorado State's offensive schemes and what they're trying to do and their motion and, you know, the actions that they try to get into early and then late. Both teams are dealing with the same thing. And that's what kind of makes these games open and exciting, because everybody in this tournament has just finished playing the last 3 months against teams that know everything about them, and they knew everything about them.
Yeah, that's a great point. You got to feel fresh. You got to feel like it's almost a refreshing reset. It is. It's a new season now. But yeah, you know, as much as the Mount West is fun for us to watch, you got to think these guys are getting sick of beating the hell out of each other all year.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they are. They would like to get out. This is why you do this. I mean, the non-conference portion of the schedule was great for Colorado State. They excelled in it, and that's what this NCAA tournament is. It's non-conference, right? Everything's new. Everything's fresh. You know, they played big schools like Virginia. That doesn't bother them.
Talk to us about the matchup between I'm really curious to see how this one goes down with Isaiah Stevens and then Reese Beekman, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year, part of what anchors or what leads that great defense and how good they've been. That one right there, just as far as like an individual matchup, should be very interesting tonight.
Well, I think you'll see that matchup on one side of the floor, him guarding Isaiah. It won't be the other way around when CSU's on defense. I just get that kind of feel. But yeah, he is one of those guards. Beekman's one of those guards. He's extremely talented on both ends of the floor. He's a guy that can score, but looks to assist first. So they have to be cautious of what he's doing and how he creates to get his shooters open.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think it'll be just kind of a fun game within the game. Mike, I don't know if you can answer this question. Texter coming in just wants to know, hey, how's that calf for Isaiah Stevens?
I don't think it was an issue. I think he just had a little cramp, and if you watched the second half of that game, it didn't bother him in Vegas, and he'll be fine.
All right, the Rams are a 2.5-point favorite in this one. The over-under, 121.5, Mike. I know you're not a betting man. I know you can't get into all that stuff, but we're going to see more than we're going to see more than 122 points tonight, won't we?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, Colorado State can play that style of game
sure.
and be successful.
Yeah.
They're very good in half-court offense, and so I think that's one of the reasons why they're not overly concerned with the fact that Virginia is very disciplined defensively and takes things. That doesn't bother them. Colorado State's extremely effective in their half-court offense, so that's fine with them. But you can see a lower-scoring game. It wouldn't surprise me the first team to 70 kind of wins this thing.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. Mike, let me ask.
But then you go back to the Creighton game. We thought it would be the first team to 80 that won, and neither team got there.
How does this setup, this matchup tonight, as far as like, you know, just a prediction game, like who do you look at on this roster for CSU? Okay, they're going to be the ones to shine tonight. Is it going to be a big Patrick Cartier night? We can see Nick Clifford, or does Isaiah just kind of go crazy, do his thing? How do you think this matchup lends itself to a particular player for Colorado State?
I think the first game of the tournament, you can look at things that seem to make strategy sense, and they might not. Because it's the first game of the tournament. So to me, that opens the door wide open for somebody that maybe you don't expect to have a big game based off the matchup.
Okay.
Does that make sense to
yeah.
you? Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at this guy should match up really well against here. You'd think he'd have a good game. But those first 10 minutes of the game when everybody's getting used to it, some people, it's not going to bother them, and they're probably going to be ready for the moment right away, and they can go out and have a great night and alter what everybody's thinking.
So you're telling me Kyan Evans is going for 30 tonight?
Kyan Evans is not going for 30.
All right, maybe that's a little extreme. Mike, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's got, you know, I know you're working. I know you're writing, you're working nonstop, but there's got to be that part that's just like, this is a freaking blast. This is a heck of an opportunity.
You know, honestly, at this point for me, it is fun. But the most fun is seeing kids realize their dreams. I mean, talking to, you know, Joe Palmer and Patrick Cartier and Joel Scott, for that matter. They all started at a lower level. They all grew up hoping that they would play in this tournament. You figure you go Division II, Division III, you're never going to get that chance. And then, boom, all of a sudden you're here. And then you know Joe Palmer. I mean, he's an excitable kid to begin with. I mean, he was like a kid in a candy store yesterday, just seeing everything. But it didn't overwhelm him. But it's cool to see somebody kind of realize a dream.
No question. It's part of it, man.
That really is the fun part of it, is watching people that are highly successful reach a goal that they didn't know if was possible at one time or another.
It's part of the magic that goes into it, just kind of seeing people that have dreamt of this their entire life get that opportunity. Mike, our poll question today for you as we leave you and let you get back to...
Is it just for me or is it for everybody else?
Both. It's for both. How many Mountain West teams, over under three, are getting past the entire weekend? Over under three, Mike.
The entire weekend or just the first round?
I want the entire weekend.
I haven't looked that closely. I think Nevada has a shot. I really do.
Okay.
New Mexico's matchup
Clemson.
That's fine, but I look at Baylor in the second round, and I think that would be tough. So if you're talking about the entire weekend,
yeah,
I'm not so sure. I like San Diego State. obviously.
Yep.
I think that they can do it. I'm trying to remember who got the other matchups.
So you got, well, obviously Boise's in the play and CU, but next Boise's, it could be Florida Marquette down the road potentially.
Yeah, I find that one hard. I do like Utah State's bracket.
Yeah.
I think,
ooh.
I mean, I don't believe TCU should be a 9 seed to begin with. So I think they do, but then that also takes them right into Purdue, which
yeah.
would be a really tough matchup.
Yeah.
What I did look at initially was, because honestly, if you think about it, and I think a lot of people have talked, why did the Mountain West get such low seeds? And I disagree with this, but I think it has to do with their past tournament history. The last 5 years, the conferences won 5 tournament games, and they were all belonged to San Diego State last year in that run.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that played against them. Now, if you can get some wins in the first round, that helps. And I think there are definitely wins there in the first round for the Mountain West.
I do, too. I think a good chunk of them are going to win first-round games. Second round is going to be difficult. But I do agree with you. Like you said, I don't know that I agree with the logic behind it. But, yeah, I do think that you look at the past year, maybe two, and you see how a conference did overall.
Yeah.
That's why this is a huge opportunity for the Mountain West. If you don't like where you were put, go shock everybody and go deep.
Yeah, I mean, the logic used to make somewhat sense to me maybe 5 years ago. But with the transfer portal now, I mean, look at Utah State. They lost their entire roster. This is a brand new team, brand new coach. And they're going to be held against
that's a good
what
point.
Happened in the past and not what their resume said they did this year.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Mike, we'll be looking forward to your coverage throughout. I'm planning on being at football spring, you know, the first spring practice on Thursday. I'm guessing you're not going to get on a jet, come over, and then go back to where, you know, back to Charlotte Thursday. I'm guessing you're not going to be planning that, Mike.
My plan is that I will miss the entire first weekend of spring football.
That's the plan. And hey, you know what, Mike? I like you. I like hanging out with you, but I hope that's the case. I hope I don't see you on Thursday, to be honest with you, man.
I hope you don't see me on Thursday either.
All right, man. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Mike, appreciate it. Enjoy this time, man, and we'll be connecting with you soon.
All right, take care.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Yeah, CSU football starts spring practice on Thursday, hoping to get out there in the morning for a little bit. I will probably be the only one because all the other CSU people that follow them, I think there's like 4 of us that religiously follow both. You know, there's 2 writers and Kevin Lytle and Justin Michael, and I think there's another guy. And then Brohard's there because he works there, you know. And then there's me. I think all those guys are in Dayton right now and probably going to go to Charlotte. So maybe I'll get to go out there and run some drills. 38 minutes after the hour, Angel, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I always enjoy catching up with Mr. Brohard. I'll give you this, though. He is one of my more interesting interviews because you never know where Mike's going to go with something. That's the beauty of the show. We get a lot of unique personalities on, and I thoroughly enjoy it. And Mike, he challenges me. Yeah, I got to push him. I got to push it. And I thoroughly enjoy it. It's great. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. They're in Dayton. Angel, the Nuggets get set to go up against the Timberwolves tonight. And they lost to Dallas. They've lost 2 games since the All-Star break. So it's no longer on me, okay? You know, it's not just me. Although that game was in Dallas, right?
Yes.
So maybe there's that.
Panic
that they're what, 11-2?
Yeah.
Well, you would sometimes reporters ask weird questions and you start to see why Jamal Murray gets annoyed. You're 11-2 since the All-Star break. The 2 losses, overtime to Phoenix, and then a last second crazy shot by Kyrie Irving. And this is the question.
The only 2 games you guys have lost since the break have been, I mean, KD hits a late 3 to force overtime. They make a couple late shots this time. But is there anything that you guys even look at in terms of concerning trends out of 2 losses like that? Or is it pretty much just
look at the wins, bro.
Yeah.
We've been winning. 2 losses is like trying to find a common denominator. Like, bro hit a left-handed floater from top of the key going away from the basket. Like, it's an amazing shot.
Yeah.
And we played terrible up until the last couple of minutes, so we were fighting and we were just happy to be in that position the way we played throughout the game.
What stood out about some of the role players?
I try not to be the guy that's... I don't want to harp on people for doing things that I don't do. I mean, I don't go to games on a regular basis. I don't sit in there and collect audio. I don't need quotes. I don't write stories. But, I mean, come on. Who was that? Do we know who that was? Probably somebody I like, you know? But I got respect for every... Most journalists. But that, like, this is why Jamal doesn't want to give you anything. This is why he's watching UFC fights, bro. This is why he's watching UFC fights when he goes to a press conference. Because you're going to ask him, after going 11-2, one game against Phoenix and one game on the road against Dallas, two probable playoff teams, if it's a concerning trend that you lost by late, you know, KD hits a late three to send us to overtime, and Kyrie Irving hits a crazy left-handed sky shot kind of deal, and we're going to ask if there's a concerning trend to that? Like, I mean, I guess I get where you're kind of going. They can't win in close. You don't think they can win in close game. I don't know where you're going, but I can see why Jamal watches television while he's in press conference.
Yeah. Obviously, players after a loss aren't in the best of moods, especially on a loss like that with Kyrie. And it's like, oh, came all the way back and we just get beat by some crazy stuff. I could see the reporter's thought process with the question. Like, is there anything that stuck out to you in those two losses that you would say contributed to the loss of the game? Probably not, because both of them were kind of comeback efforts late, and maybe you just kind of ran out of juice, even though Jamal hit that three at the end to tie the game, and then Kyrie hits his. So, no, I think it's for him it was more of, why don't we look at the wins, and what have we been doing in the wins that have been consistent?
Yeah. Well, and I guess to me, like, the maybe the fair question would be, you guys have had a lot of comeback games. Is there a concern that that's going to catch up to you? I don't know. Again, I'm not asking these questions. I'm at home on my couch watching these games. You know, that's the process here. But I got mad respect for people that do this for a living, and you try to ask questions to get these players talking so you can generate stories for your articles and your blogs and stuff. But I mean, at some point it's just like, do I even need to ask a question right now?
No, and it would be concerning for the Nuggets if it was, you know, two losses back-to-back. Like, if they lost again tonight in a comeback effort, and maybe the comeback falls a little short and you lose by 5+, then it's like, okay, is there more of a concern here? But since the All-Star break, it was 6 wins, a loss, 5 wins, a loss.
So yeah.
They're, like, the space in between the two losses is irrelevant.
This is all like regular stuff. Like, this is what great teams do. They win 6 in a row, they lose a game. They win 5 in a row, they lose a game. I'm not concerned by that kind of a loss. You know, you go up against Minnesota tonight, the Vikings, the Timberwolves are on a back-to-back. I fully expect the Nuggets to win. And if they don't, then yeah, you've lost 2 in a row, and now you've dropped a little further out of the race.
Yeah, and you go to the Phoenix loss after in kind of an emotional game against LA and the Lakers, maybe, and then you bounce back with a big win over the Celtics.
Yeah,
and then rattle off 4 more. Okay, we drop one to the Mavericks. Now we got the Timberwolves, and this is a game you absolutely should be getting up for. And I don't think Malone's going to have any worries about that.
No, and so the standings are tight still. So it's back to where it was about 2 weeks ago. OKC's back on top. Right. And yep. Then Minnesota and then Denver
are both tied for second.
Right.
With a half game back.
So Denver takes care of Minnesota tonight. They pop right back into second place. Now, here's what it looks like for all three teams as far as their next five. OKC on Wednesday night's going up against Utah. Friday night, they're at Toronto. Sunday, they're at Milwaukee. Tuesday, they're at New Orleans. And then next Wednesday, they're home against Houston. Not that difficult.
Probably
Milwaukee's tough.
3-2.
Yeah. Minnesota's got Denver, obviously. Friday night is against Cleveland. Sunday's against the Warriors. Next Wednesday is against Detroit. And then they play Denver again in that 5-game span. The Nuggets at Minnesota. Home game against the Knicks on Thursday. Saturday, they're at Portland. Monday, they're taking on Memphis. And then Wednesday, they'll be going up against the Suns. Both kind of are like, oh, there's a couple of tough ones and then a couple of gimmies that you should win. So we might not know a lot in the next week.
No, and this, this game's important for at least the 2 seed for right now. But these teams have only met once and that was back in early November. The Timberwolves won 110-89. So you still have three matchups with this Timberwolves team. The last two are at home. So you want to try to get this one on the road.
So it always seems like the Nuggets get the Timberwolves. They get a batch of Timberwolves games late. That's just that, I guess, because that game they had to send a team into the playoffs was big. So let's keep doing it.
Are they becoming a bit of a rival?
Yeah, I think so.
Especially with the GM connections?
Mm-hmm. I think Minnesota's a big rivalry for the Nuggets. 49 after the hour. What did we learn coming up next? It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We'll be right back.
Enter for free. Create your bracket. Win big. KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by A1 Organics. Keep it here if you want in. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What do we learn on this 19th day of March? It is the first day of spring today. We learned that. That's one thing we learned. The other thing I learned is that maybe it's not going to work out for the Broncos to end up getting a quarterback in the first round, and then obviously they don't have a second round pick, so they're going to have to finagle a few things here. Still a lot to be determined, but I've also learned that what they tell you 2 months ago about the draft changes quite a bit up to the draft. When you see Brock Bowers, a tight end, suddenly projected to go in the 20s, things change a lot, so you got to be ready for it. You got to find out who's bluffing as well. It's a big-time game, just the NFL draft. And I learned that it's probably going to be a slow-moving game tonight between CSU and Virginia. Angel, what'd you learn?
Lots of sports on tonight, so I will probably stay up a little later to watch all of these
games.
Well,
at least they're fairly early.
Yeah, 7's a good starting point. Nuggets, big game against the Timberwolves.
Yep.
The Wolves are getting a lot of attention after last night. Anthony Edwards is. Jamal is a little ticked off, so I think Jamal's going to go have a good night tonight.
Big Jamal night tonight, so that reporter doesn't have to ask him, if he sees another disturbing trend.
Yeah, I mean, is it disturbing if post-game Jamal's watching March Madness games? Filling out a bracket, maybe?
Probably not unless you lose, and it's a worse look, but I don't think it's a big deal. No, I think it's fun.
But it'd be good sports night.
Yeah. Good sports night on Gel. All right, tomorrow, get your punches in, because tomorrow's our last show until next Monday, because we step aside Thursday and Friday for all things March Madness. It's a tradition of ours here at the station, so we're very excited about that. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.